Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
Night Owl, what's the creepiest thing you've heard between 2 and 4 a.m. that still haunts you? Story 1. I live alone in a small duplex. It's quiet, nothing too exciting. I'm a night owl, working late, watching movies, usual stuff. One night around 3:20 a.m., I was sitting in my living room with headphones on when I felt a sudden urge to take them off. That's when I heard it. A baby crying. Faint, but clear. My duplex is surrounded by retired couples and single tenants. No babies. It lasted a few minutes, stopping suddenly like someone flipped a switch. I figured maybe a TV or a sound from down the block until the next night. It happened again. Same time. Same sound. On the third night, I decided to investigate. I opened the back door to try and pinpoint where it came from. It was louder now. Almost directly behind my house in the alley. I turned on my flashlight and walked slowly toward the sound, heart racing. That's when I noticed it wasn't quite a baby cry. It had a rhythmic, looped quality. Too perfect. I walked closer and saw it. A small Bluetooth speaker hidden under a bush. The moment I picked it up, the sound stopped. And then my phone buzzed. A text from an unknown number. You're fun. Same time tomorrow? I moved out that weekend. Story 2. I used to rent an attic apartment in a 100-year-old house. It was cozy, but had that classic old home creakiness. You get used to it, or so I thought. One night around 2:45 a.m., I was reading in bed when I heard a man's voice downstairs. Just a word. Hello? Then silence. My landlord and his wife were away that weekend. I was alone in the house. I froze. Maybe I imagined it. A minute later, it came again. Is anyone up? Louder now, closer. I crept to the stairs and peeked down, heart hammering. No lights, no movement. I didn't dare go down. I locked my bedroom door, sat on the floor with a kitchen knife, and waited. At 3:30, I heard something that turned my blood cold. A sound like someone dragging their hand across the wall just outside my door. Then a whisper. Found you. I didn't sleep. At sunrise, I searched the house. Nothing was touched. Doors locked. No signs of entry. When I told my landlord, he sighed and said, you're not the first tenant to hear him. Just don't answer him. Story 3. It was 2:18 a.m. when I heard a knock on my bedroom window. I live on the second floor. It was a sharp, deliberate knock. I sat straight up in bed, pulse thudding in my ears. Another knock followed, then silence. I convinced myself it was a branch or a bird, but then came the whisper. Let me in. I grabbed my phone, turned on the flashlight, and approached the window with shaking hands. Nothing. Just darkness and the reflection of my pale face in the glass. But when I looked again from a different angle, I saw it. A smudge. A full, perfect handprint. Too big to be mine. The next morning, I checked from the outside. There's no ledge, no tree near the window, no ladder, no way up. The handprint? Still there. The fingers too long, almost inhuman. I cleaned it. It came back two nights later. Story 4. Back when I worked night shifts, I'd get home around 2:30 a.m. and wind down on the porch with a cup of tea. One night, I heard laughter. Children. Giggling. I live in a rural area. Nearest neighbor is a quarter mile away. No kids anywhere nearby. I stood, walked to the edge of my porch, and listened. Nothing. Then behind me, closer now, another laugh. A little girl's laugh, followed by a sharp shushing sound. Like someone trying to quiet her. I spun around. No one there. Then under my breath, I heard it. Just two words. He sees. I dropped my mug and ran inside, locked everything. For weeks after, I'd hear scratching on my windows between 2 and 4 a.m. Sometimes faint whispers. I even recorded once, just static and one faint giggle. It stopped after I moved, but I still dream of those words. Story 5. This happened when I was crashing at my aunt's lake cabin during winter. It's a remote place. No other homes within a mile. One night, around 3 a.m., I was watching a movie when I heard footsteps crunching the snow outside. not fast or frantic, slow, steady, like pacing. I paused the movie. Nothing. Then the footsteps again, closer now, circling the cabin. I turned off all the lights, grabbed my flashlight, and peeked out.
No one.
But on the snow, I saw prints. Barefoot. Human. Going in circles around the cabin. No starting point. No end. Just prints in a continuous loop. I didn't sleep that night. The next morning, they were still there. My aunt checked her outdoor camera. It only recorded from midnight to 2 a.m. The footage stopped just before the prints appeared. I tried to extend the recording settings the next night. The camera didn't turn back on. Story 6. When I was 17, I lived in a sketchy apartment above an old convenience store. The walls were paper thin, and the floors creaked if you looked at them wrong. I got used to hearing weird sounds, but one night, at around 3:12 a.m., I heard something that still makes my skin crawl. It was the sound of someone slowly reciting the alphabet.
Just a bit.
See, it wasn't coming from any neighboring unit. It sounded like it was right outside my bedroom window, which faced a narrow alley. The voice was deep, cracked, and deliberate. Each letter was spaced out with a long, unnatural pause. By the time it got to J, I was fully frozen in bed, clutching my phone. The next few letters came faster, louder, almost like the voice was getting excited, then silence. I waited a full minute before getting the courage to peek through the blinds. No one. Just darkness. I told myself it was probably a drunk guy or some prank. But the next night, at the same exact time, it started again.
B, C.
It stopped at M. I didn't sleep the rest of the week. Story 7. My roommate and I used to work opposite schedules. He'd come home at 2 a.m., and I'd usually be up gaming. One night I heard him come in. Door unlocked, keys hit the table, boots dropped. I shouted, "Yo, I left you some pizza!" No answer. I figured he was tired, but then I heard him humming. A weird, tuneless hum, like a child trying to mimic a melody they didn't know. I got up to say hi, and the apartment was dark. His door was open. No boots, no keys on the table. Empty. I called him. He answered, still at work. He said he picked up an extra shift. I checked the lock. Still deadbolted. No sign anyone came in or out. That night I slept with a knife beside me, and every so often I still hear that weird hum, even when I'm alone. Story 8. I live in a trailer near the woods. One night, around 3:40 a.m., my dog started growling. Not barking, just a low, rumbling growl I'd never heard from him before. I got up to check it out, and he was standing near the door, stiff. I flipped on the porch light and saw nothing. Then I heard it. A knock. Not on the door, on the side of the trailer. Software repeated. I grabbed my rifle and quietly stepped outside. The cold hit me, and I scanned the area. Then I heard whispering. Not from any direction in particular, just everywhere, surrounding me. Words I couldn't make out, just whispers. I backed inside, locked everything, and sat in the corner with my dog, both of us shaking. The whispers didn't stop until sunrise. Next day, I found something that made my stomach drop. Dozens of small handprints in the condensation on the side of the trailer. None bigger than a child's.
Story 9.
My ex and I rented a beach house for a weekend in the off-season. The area was practically deserted. One night, around 2:45 a.m., I was reading when I heard someone screaming out by the water. Not yelling, screaming, blood-curdling. I ran out onto the porch. Fog had rolled in heavy, but I could still make out a figure thrashing knee-deep in the ocean, screaming, "Help me!" over and over. I ran back inside, grabbed my phone to call 911, but when I looked back out, the beach was empty. Silence. The next morning, I asked a local. The old man at the diner just nodded and said, "Every winter, same voice, same spot. Don't follow it. It's not real." I asked if it was like a ghost or something. He looked me dead in the eyes and said, "Not a ghost, something worse." Story 10. I used to take late night walks through my neighborhood. One night around 3 a.m., I passed by a boarded up house that had been empty for years. As I passed, I heard piano music. Soft, eerie. Just a few keys playing a melody over and over again. I froze. No lights. No sign anyone was inside, but the music was unmistakable. I got closer. The music stopped. Then a voice, raspy female, spoke from inside.
"You used to love this song."
I bolted. Later that week, I mentioned it to my neighbor, an elderly woman who'd lived there all her life. Her face went pale.
"That was Emma's song," she whispered. "She lived in that house, played the piano every night, until she killed herself."
She looked at me with teary eyes and added, "She said she'd wait for someone to remember." Story 11. Back when I worked overnights at a rural gas station, things were usually dead quiet after midnight. One night, around 3:30 a.m., I was restocking...
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Drinks in the back fridge when I heard someone talking in the store. Not shouting or calling out, just a calm, clear conversation. I stepped out, expecting a customer, but the place was empty. Doors hadn't opened. Cameras showed nothing. Yet I could still hear the voices. Two men, talking softly but clearly. "Where did you bury her?" "Under the willow. Same place as the others." Chills shot down my spine. I checked behind the counter, the bathroom, even the storeroom. Nothing. The voices continued, faint but persistent, like they were inside the walls. I stood frozen until the voices stopped at exactly 4 a.m. Next morning, I told my manager. He went pale and said, "Don't tell the sheriff, just ignore it. We all do." I never worked the night shift again. Story 12. When I was 16, I lived in a small house with my mom. One night, around 2:50 a.m., I was in the kitchen getting a snack when I heard a woman singing. It wasn't a melody I recognized, more like a soft lullaby in a language I didn't understand. It was coming from the basement vent. We didn't have a basement. I stood there frozen, listening. The song got louder, closer, but it didn't sound like it was being sung, more like it was being whispered into my ear. I screamed for my mom and she ran in, but the sound stopped instantly. We called someone to inspect the foundation the next day. The guy looked confused. "You do have a basement," he said. "It's sealed off. Didn't you know?" "We didn't." They broke the seal. Inside, we found a moldy old crib and scratched into the concrete wall beside it. "Hush, little baby, don't say a word." We moved out that week. Story 13. A few years ago, I worked as a security guard at a corporate office. Night shift. Boring stuff. Just me, cameras, and silence. One night around 3:10 a.m., I saw something strange on the monitors. A man was standing in the main lobby, bald in a hospital gown, barefoot. Just standing. I switched angles. Nothing. He vanished. Then the motion sensors went off on the top floor. I rushed to check it out, thinking maybe a homeless guy slipped in. The elevators weren't in use, so I took the stairs. When I reached the floor, it was pitch black. I turned on my flashlight and saw wet footprints on the carpet, leading to a locked conference room. From inside, I heard whispering. I called for backup. When the other guard arrived, we opened the room. Empty. The footprints ended in the center of the room. No windows, no vents, nowhere else to go. Two nights later, it happened again. Story 14. I once stayed at a cheap roadside motel after a long drive. Couldn't sleep, so I turned on the TV and scrolled aimlessly. Around 3:15 a.m., I heard banging from the room next to mine, followed by crying. At first, it was faint, a woman sobbing.
Then she started screaming, begging someone to please stop. I called the front desk. They told me the room next to mine was vacant. I asked them to check anyway. A few minutes later, I heard a knock at my door. The manager stood there, pale as a ghost. "There's no one in that room," he said, "but the TV was on." He wouldn't say anything else. I slept in my car that night. Later found out that 10 years ago, a woman was murdered in that exact room. They never caught who did it. Story 15. I live in an apartment near a cemetery. Never bothered me. Quiet neighbors, right? One night I was up watching a movie when I heard soft footsteps in the hallway outside, then a knock at my door. It was 2:23 a.m. I checked the peephole. No one, but the knocking continued, slow and steady. Then it stopped. I turned away and heard it again, this time from inside the apartment. I turned around, heart pounding. No one was there, but one of my hallway closet doors was cracked open. I grabbed a kitchen knife, kicked it open, empty. But something had been inside. Dust was disturbed, and a faint trail of mud led from the closet to the front door. The next morning, I noticed the mud wasn't regular dirt. It had tiny white fragments in it. A friend later told me, cemetery soil. I've never opened that closet again. Story 16. I used to live across from a small nursing home. From my bedroom window, I could see the dim orange light that stayed on all night above their front entrance. It was always peaceful, until one night around 3 a.m., I heard what sounded like singing, not cheerful, not sad, just hollow, a woman's voice repeating the same phrase, "Let me in, it's cold out here." I looked out the window and saw a figure standing under the entrance light, long white gown, barefoot, pale skin. She didn't move, just stood and sang that line over and over again. I almost called the police, until one of the nurses stepped out the door. She looked straight at the woman and walked right through her. The figure vanished like smoke. I told a friend who worked there. She went quiet and then said, "We call her Agnes. She froze to death in 1979 after wandering outside in her sleep. She always comes back in winter." Story 17. I live on the 12th floor of a high rise. One night around 2:40 a.m., I was brushing my teeth when I heard a knock on my window. I nearly choked on my toothpaste. The window looks out over a steep drop, nothing but air and concrete for stories below. I froze. Another knock. I edged toward the glass and looked out. No one. I flicked off the bathroom light and stood there for a minute. Then, from the dark, I heard it. Scrape, 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 like fingernails on glass. I flipped the lights back on and saw it. Three long scratches on the outside of the window, like someone had dragged a claw down the surface. Next day, I told the building maintenance guy. He stared at the marks and said, "No way someone could get up here. No ledges, no lifts running last night. You're the third person on this floor to report that. And now? Every few months, it happens again. Always between 2 and 4 a.m. Always three knocks." Story 18. I house sat for my sister one weekend. Quiet place in the woods, just her and her two cats. The first night went fine, but the second night, at 2:11 a.m., I heard someone playing the piano. She doesn't own a piano. It wasn't loud, but clear enough to make me sit straight up in bed. I checked every room. Nothing. Then the cats began hissing at the wall. Not just nervous, fur raised, claws out hissing. The music stopped. I figured it was my imagination until the next night, around the same time. It started again. But this time I heard footsteps, too. Slow, heavy ones, coming down the hallway toward the guest room I was in. I stood, heart racing. The steps stopped just outside my door. Then a man's voice, soft and cracked, whispered, "You don't belong here. I didn't even grab my stuff. I left that house barefoot in the snow, slept in my car at a gas station." My sister later admitted an old man died in that house, in that very room, alone, playing the piano. Story 19. I was pulling an all-nighter to finish a university paper when I heard what I thought was a woman sobbing in the hallway. I live in a campus dorm. It's not uncommon to hear people breaking down at weird hours, but this was different. The crying didn't move. It stayed in the same spot for over 20 minutes. Just quiet, painful sobbing right outside my door. I opened it. No one. I walked the hallway, empty. When I returned to my room, the sobbing had started again, but inside my closet. I nearly passed out. I didn't open it, just backed away and left the dorm entirely. Next morning, I returned to find the words, I'm still here, carved into the wood inside my closet door. Not scratched, carved. I reported it to the housing director. He sighed and said, "She was a student here. Took her life in that very closet in 2003. You're not the first." Story 20. My husband and I moved into an old Victorian home last year. Beautiful, sure, but definitely creaky. One night I was up late nursing our baby around 3 a.m. when I heard something truly chilling. From the baby monitor, which I had set in the nursery, came the sound of someone shushing.
"Shh, shh, it's okay,"
said a soft male voice. I froze. My husband was asleep in bed. I ran into the nursery. Baby asleep, no one there. I reviewed the monitor's recording. The audio was still there, clear, gentle shushing. The waveform even showed it. We called the police. They searched the house. No sign of intrusion. A few days later, I was reading through an old box of documents we found in the attic. Turns out the house once belonged to a man who lost his infant son in the 1940s. The note found in his journal before he passed away simply read, "I still hear him cry. I'm sorry I wasn't there." Story 21. In college, I worked late at a print shop that shared a parking lot with an abandoned church. One night around 3:15 a.m., I stepped outside for a smoke break and heard the church bell ring. There was no power in the church. The building was locked up and had been condemned for years. The bell hadn't rung in decades. I stood there frozen. Then I heard organ music coming from inside. Faint, like it was drifting through water. A slow, off-key hymn. Then a man's voice, deep, drawn out, chanting in Latin. I don't speak Latin, but I recognized the word mortem repeated over and over. I ran back inside and locked the doors. Next day, I told my boss, who just nodded and said, "You heard Father Dillingham? Happens every few years when it's near the anniversary." "Anniversary of what?" I asked. He handed me an old newspaper clipping. "Local priest found hanged at altar in suspected ritual." Story 22. When I was 14, I had a habit of sneaking out to skateboard at night. One summer night around 2:30 a.m., I was cruising through my neighborhood when I heard screaming. A woman, shrill and panicked, shouting, "He's here! Help me!" I stopped in my tracks. The sound was coming from behind an old row of hedges along the park. I dropped my board and ran toward it. But when I rounded the hedge, there was no one there, just silence. I stood there for a minute, then I heard it again, but this time from behind me.
"Help me!"
So close it felt like it was right at my ear. I sprinted home, locked myself in, and refused to leave again at night. Years later, I told my girlfriend, who grew up in the same neighborhood. She said, "Oh yeah, that's the park lady. Local legend says she died running from someone, but no one ever found her body." Story 23. My uncle lives in an isolated cabin up north, no neighbors for miles. I visited one winter, and during one sleepless night, I sat on the porch sipping coffee at 3 a.m. The forest was dead quiet. But then I heard something out in the trees, a voice, whispering. It was repeating my name, over and over. "Daniel, Daniel, come here." No one knew I was there. My phone had no signal. My uncle was fast asleep. I stood, terrified, staring into the black wall of trees. The whispering got closer. But I saw nothing. No movement. Just the voice moving between trees like it had no body. Then it stopped. A second later, something huge slammed into the side of the cabin. I ran inside. My uncle grabbed his rifle and ran out. Nothing. Not even tracks in the snow. He looked shaken. Told me he heard it too. Then he said something I'll never forget. "That's not the first time the woods call your name, but it only happens to people with something following them." Story 24. I was doing a sleep study for extra credit. The lab was in the university's psychology wing, one of the older buildings. It was just me and another participant that night. Separate rooms, cameras, EEGs, the usual. Around 3:20 a.m., I woke up to static in the monitoring equipment, then the sound of something scraping inside the air vents, slow, dragging, metal against metal. I called out for the supervisor. No response. I stepped into the hallway and saw the other participant already out of his room. We both looked toward the observation window. It was smashed. Blood smeared across the glass, but no one was inside. We ran, found security. When they checked the room, everything was clean. No blood, no damage. We insisted on reviewing the footage. They played it back.
The video showed us both sleeping the entire time. But the audio? The audio had a woman's voice whispering, "You're being watched." Repeated, until 4 a.m. exactly. Story 25. I live in a high-crime neighborhood, so I got used to sirens at night. But one night, I woke up around 2:50 a.m. to a sound that was wrong. Not sirens, not shouting. It was chewing. A wet, crunching, smacking sound coming from directly outside my bedroom window. I live on the ground floor. I turned off my fan to listen better. It got louder, like someone was devouring something. I got on the floor, crawled to the window, and gently peeked through the blinds. There was a man crouched under the streetlight, shirtless, his back to me. He was hunched over something. I couldn't tell what. Then he turned his head, just his head, toward my window. He didn't stop chewing, just smiled with red teeth and waved with his free hand. I slammed the blinds shut and hid. Next morning, nothing was there. No stains, no trash, no food, just a perfect circle of scorched grass where he had crouched. Story 26. I worked at a radio station for a while, mostly overnight shifts. From 2 to 4 a.m., I'd be alone in the building, running pre-recorded segments and watching levels. One night, at exactly 2:36 a.m., I heard what sounded like a woman humming, but not from a radio feed, from the corner of the sound booth. No mic was on, no audio playing. I checked the cameras. Nothing, but the humming kept going. Sweet, rhythmic, almost comforting. Then the station phone rang. The line ID read, "Unknown," I answered. Silence. Then a voice, barely above a whisper, said, "Don't let her stop humming. If she does, he'll come back." Click. The humming did stop a few seconds later, and then the lights flickered. The temperature dropped so fast, the glass panel fogged up in seconds. I sat paralyzed until 4:01 a.m. when everything snapped back to normal. A week later, I quit. I still hear that tune sometimes in my sleep. Story 27. A few years ago, I got a job as an overnight janitor for a museum. One night, while buffing the floor near the Egyptian exhibit, I heard soft knocking, like fingernails tapping on glass. I figured it was just temperature shift against the display case, until I walked by and heard a voice. He watches behind the eyes. It came from inside a sarcophagus display. I jumped back and stared at the ancient coffin. The eyes on the painted mask seemed newer. Wet, almost. I stepped away slowly. Later that night, around 3:40 a.m., I heard the same knocking from the storage room where the unused artifacts were kept. The door was locked. Then something knocked back from the inside, three times, perfectly timed with mine. The next morning, I checked the security footage. From 3:38 to 3:45 a.m., the hallway camera turned to static. I never worked another shift. Story 28. I once rented a room in a massive 100-year-old house that had been converted into a boarding home. Cheap rent, lots of character, too much character. One night, I was reading when I heard someone sobbing. Not loud, but raw. Right outside my bedroom door. I opened it, expecting one of the other tenants. The hallway was pitch black. The sobbing stopped instantly. I stood there unsure when I heard it again, behind me this time, from inside my own room. I turned, it stopped again. I searched every inch of my space, nothing. I even checked under the bed and inside the closet. That's when I heard it one final time. Not sobbing this time, giggling. Childlike, cruel, echoing inside my head. I turned off every light and lay in bed. Blanket pulled over me like a child. At exactly 4 a.m., it stopped. I moved out the next day. The landlord didn't look surprised. He just said, "That room always has trouble keeping tenants." Story 29. I was driving cross-country and took a detour to avoid a storm. GPS led me onto a side road through a forest, and my car broke down around 2:50 a.m. No signal, dead quiet. Then I heard it, singing. It was faint at first, a man's voice, melancholic, singing an old folk tune I couldn't place. I got out of the car, thinking maybe someone lived nearby. But the singing moved. Not like it was echoing, like it was circling me, getting louder, then softer, like it was pacing around my car. I got back in, locked the doors, and curled up in the back seat. At 3:27 a.m., the singing stopped. Then a loud bang, like something hit the roof of the car hard. I stayed frozen until sunrise. When I finally got out, I saw a perfect footprint on the roof. Barefoot, toes long and curled like claws.
Story 30. I once stayed at a historic bed and breakfast while on a solo road trip. The place was charming and cozy during the day, but at night, the energy shifted. Around 3:10 a.m., I was half asleep when I heard breathing. Heavy, rattling, just a few feet from my bed. I sat up terrified. No one there. The breathing stopped. But then I heard something even worse, scratching. From under the bed, I dropped to the floor and looked. Nothing. Then my closet door creaked open by itself. I stared at it for what felt like hours. I finally got up and closed it, heart racing. As I turned back toward the bed, the breathing started again, this time right in my ear. I screamed and turned on every light in the room. It stopped. Next morning, I checked out early. The receptionist looked at my face and just nodded. "You stayed in room 6, didn't you?" I nodded. She whispered, "He only visits the quiet ones." Story 31. During the early pandemic, I was stuck in a high-rise apartment alone. The city had gone quiet. No traffic, no nightlife. Nothing but sirens and silence. One night, around 2:20 a.m., I was watching a documentary with the windows open to let in the breeze. And then I heard whistling. It wasn't a tune, just a single shrill whistle, like someone trying to get attention. I ignored it until it happened again, louder, longer. So I got up and looked down. No one on the street. But when I looked across to the building opposite mine, 14, same as me, I saw someone standing in a dark apartment window. I waved, confused. The figure raised its hand and then whistled. That's when I realized something. My windows were shut. The sound hadn't come from outside. I turned and saw the balcony door wide open. And from just inside the doorway, something whistled once more, mimicking me exactly. Story 32. I used to rent a small cottage in the mountains. Perfect writing retreat, peaceful, and remote. One night, after working late on a horror script, I stepped out onto the porch for some air at 3 a.m. Then I heard singing, a woman's voice echoing through the trees. It was distant, ghostly, but clearly humming the tune I had just written into my script, a lullaby I made up. I froze. I hadn't told anyone about the story. I hadn't posted it. It was just a draft on my laptop. The singing grew louder. Still far, but gaining strength, like the forest itself was learning it. Then my wind chimes began spinning wildly, though the air was dead still. I ran back inside and shut everything. A few minutes later, I heard scratching on the window glass, slow, deliberate strokes. Next morning, I found a message written in the dew. Sing it again. Story 33. My dad passed away 2 years ago. He was a mechanic, always working late into the night in his garage. After he died, I inherited the house and the habit of staying up late. One night, while I was watching TV around 3:10 a.m., I heard the unmistakable sound of tools clinking together, coming from the garage. I assumed it was just settling noises or maybe a raccoon. But then I heard music, his favorite old rock station, playing softly. I grabbed a flashlight and walked to the garage. The light inside was flickering. When I opened the door, the radio clicked off instantly. But on the workbench, someone had unscrewed the spark plugs from my motorcycle and laid them out exactly how Dad used to when teaching me. And carved into the dusty bench was one word: careful. The next day, I found a gas leak in the fuel line. If I'd ridden it that morning, I probably wouldn't be here. Story 34. My dog passed away last winter. For months, I couldn't sleep properly. I missed the sound of her little paws tapping on the hardwood. One night, at 2:47 a.m., I woke up to the familiar click-click of her walking across the hallway. I sat up, stunned. Then I heard the soft jingle of her collar tags. I wanted so badly to believe it was real. I got up and opened the door. There were no tags, no dog. But in the hallway carpet, I saw paw prints, clear, fresh. They trailed down to the end of the hallway and stopped at the closed front door. I stood there, unsure if I should cry or scream. And then from behind me, I heard a faint woof, soft and loving. Her voice. I didn't sleep the rest of the night, but in a strange way, I didn't feel scared.
Story 35.
I used to work third shift at a highway rest stop. Pretty uneventful, except for the truckers and the occasional drifter. One night, around 2:30 a.m., the lights in the bathroom started flickering. Nothing unusual, wiring was ancient. Then I heard a man laughing, low and breathy, coming from the women's bathroom. I opened the door, empty. But I could still hear it, coming from the last stall. I stepped inside, heart pounding. It was open, no one inside.
but written in permanent marker on the back of the stall door was, "Don't laugh, he hears that." The lights went out. The laughing stopped. Then I heard my own name whispered behind me. I bolted out and never went back to that bathroom alone again. Story 36. I used to live in a fifth-floor apartment above a small antique store. The owner lived in the unit below me and often said things got loud at night. One night, around 2:30 a.m., I was woken by the sound of a phonograph playing, not through the wall, inside my room. It was faint but unmistakable, scratchy, vintage music. A woman's voice singing about a long-lost lover. I searched my whole apartment. No electronics on, no speakers, the music just hovered in the air like a ghost. Then came the footsteps, slow, heavy, walking directly toward my bedroom door. I held my breath, expecting it to stop. It didn't. The door handle turned. I flipped on the lights and grabbed a bat. No one was there. Nothing. The next morning, I asked the store owner if she'd heard anything strange. She just gave a tired smile and said, "She always plays that record before she tries to visit someone new. You're lucky. She doesn't always knock." Story 37. When I was about 10, I had this weird habit of waking up between 2 and 3 a.m. and just listening. Something always pulled me awake like I was being summoned. One night I heard it for the first time, whispering coming from under my bed. Not words, just faint murmurs like a conversation on the other side of a wall. I pulled the blankets over my head and waited. Then I heard my name. Clear, unmistakable. Eli? I was frozen. I didn't even breathe. Then the voice came again, mimicking my mom's voice this time. "Sweetie, come help me." Except my mom was asleep down the hall. The whispers stopped at 4 a.m. I never looked under the bed, ever. Years later, I moved out and helped my dad clear the room. Under the bed frame, wedged deep in the slats, was an old tape recorder. Dead batteries, ancient cassette inside. It was labeled, "Practice, call him back." Story 38. I once stayed at a friend's ranch in Wyoming. Middle of nowhere, just acres of grass and mountains. Peaceful, until the third night. At 3 a.m., I woke up to the sound of horses screaming. I didn't even know horses could scream like that. It was high-pitched, full of terror. I looked out the window and saw them running in frantic circles inside the corral. Something was in the field beyond, tall, too tall to be human, just standing there. I went to wake my friend, but she was already outside, flashlight shaking in her hand. She didn't speak, didn't move closer, just stared. The next morning she told me, "We don't acknowledge it. It doesn't stay long if you don't stare back." The horses were calm by daylight, but their eyes? They wouldn't meet mine for days. Story 39. I live near a lake that's beautiful by day, and something else entirely by night. One evening, I was out late photographing the stars. Around 3:15 a.m., I heard someone crying near the shoreline. Soft but broken sobs, like mourning. I called out, asked if they needed help. No response, just more crying. Then I saw movement in the water, just a figure standing knee-deep, hair covering their face, back arched strangely. I started toward them, thinking maybe someone had wandered in drunk or confused. Then they moved, but not toward shore. They sank, straight down without a splash. I ran to the edge but saw nothing in the water. I told the rangers the next day. One of them gave me a long look and said, "We lost a girl here. She drowned trying to rescue someone she thought was crying. But no one else was ever found." Story 40. When I was a night janitor at a high school, the worst room to clean was the auditorium. It always felt off. One night, around 2:40 a.m., I was sweeping the aisles when I heard clapping. Not polite applause, one single slow clap. I looked up, no one. Then the spotlight turned on by itself and pointed at the stage, and I heard a voice from the empty seats behind me whisper, "Encore." I noped out, radioed my manager, and refused to go back in. He said it wasn't the first time someone reported that. A teacher later told me the school once had a drama student who died mid-performance during a play. The last line he ever spoke before collapsing on stage? Now the show goes on forever. Story 41. I used to manage a 24-hour laundromat in a small town. Quiet nights, mostly just drunk college kids or tired parents. But one night around 3 a.m., I was alone when I heard a child giggling. Not playful, more like mocking. I walked to the back of the room thinking someone brought their kid in late. But no one was there. Then I heard it again. this time from inside one of the dryers. I opened it empty. Just as I turned to leave, the dryer door slammed shut behind me and started spinning. I didn't hit any buttons. It spun full speed for 10 seconds and then stopped. I cautiously opened it again. Inside was a small porcelain doll, smiling. Not mine. I threw it out that night. The next shift, my coworker called me in a panic. Same dryer, same giggling, same doll. Story 42. In my first apartment, I lived next to a guy who never spoke. We'd pass each other in the hall sometimes, pale, mid-30s, always wearing gloves. One night I was up late gaming with headphones on when I thought I heard something over the sound. A rhythmic tap, tap, tap. I muted the game. It was coming from the shared wall, like someone was knocking, softly but persistently. I knocked back, half-joking. The tapping stopped. Then came the reply, "Don't do that again." I froze. Knocked on his door the next day to ask about it, but he didn't answer. A few days later, the landlord showed up with the police. The man had been dead for at least 2 weeks, rotting in his chair. They think he died in his sleep. But here's what keeps me up at night. The police estimate his time of death as 5 days before the night I heard the knocking. Story 43. I'm a night nurse at a private care facility. One of our patients, Mr. Kelman, used to hum to himself at all hours, but after his passing, the room was left empty for over a week. Still, the humming continued. At first, I thought I was just tired, but another nurse brought it up. She'd heard it too, always between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m., always the same tune. So one night, we left a recorder running. The next morning, we played it back. Nothing, just static. Until minute 56. A man's voice, raspy and broken, whispered, "It's cold in here. Can someone sing to me again?" We all heard it. We sent the recording to the administrator. Her response? She deleted it. Immediately. Then moved someone else into the room. The humming hasn't stopped. Story 44. I lived for a year in a converted attic apartment in New England. Sloped ceilings, creaky floors, and windows that screamed during storms. Classic horror setup, I know. One night I was writing at my desk when I heard someone whisper my name, just once. Clara. I turned around, no one. Then I heard footsteps in the ceiling above me, which made no sense. I was the top floor. I climbed up to check the crawl space. There was dust, cobwebs, and a stack of yellowed letters, all written by someone named Clara. Each was addressed to Mother. All dated between 1912 and 1916, and every single one ended with the same line, "Please let me out, I'll be good." I never wrote another word in that room again. Story 45. Back in high school, I had insomnia and used to walk around the neighborhood at night with my dog. Quiet town, safe streets, nothing spooky, until one night around 3 a.m. I heard someone whistling. Not a song, just a slow rising tone, like a call. My dog froze, then whined. I looked around, nothing. We turned a corner, and there, standing directly beneath the street lamp, was a tall man in a black coat, back to us, head slightly tilted. He whistled again. We turned and ran. I didn't look back until we were home. The next morning, I asked my neighbor about it. Her face went pale. "You heard him?" She told me people had seen the same figure in the 80s and 90s, always whistling, always at 3 a.m. Sometimes he follows people home. I've never walked outside past midnight since. Story 46. I used to babysit for a couple who lived out in the country. The house was big and quiet, and the kids were always asleep by the time I arrived. One night, around 2:50 a.m., I heard what sounded like knocking, but not on the door. It was coming from underneath the living room floor. Three slow, deliberate knocks. I froze, thought maybe an animal got into the crawl space. But then it came again. Same rhythm. Same force. I stepped closer and crouched down, trying to hear better. That's when a voice whispered from the vent, "Don't tell them I'm still here." I ran to the kids' room, locked the door, and waited until the parents got home. I never babysat there again. Years later, I found out the original owner had disappeared without a trace. The only thing they ever found was his wedding ring, in the crawl space. Story 47. I worked the graveyard shift at a 24-hour grocery store. We've got cameras in every aisle and most nights are uneventful. But one night around 3:30 a.m., I heard footsteps in aisle 9. Fast, erratic, like someone was pacing. But the cameras showed nothing. No customers,
No movement. Then one of the motion sensors tripped, and the lights in that aisle began to flicker. I went to check, and the second I stepped in, all the cereal boxes came tumbling off the shelves at once. I backed out slowly. When I checked the footage later, it showed every box falling simultaneously, but no force, no wind, just collapse. I paused the video. At the moment, the lights blinked, and there, for a split second, was the reflection of a face in the freezer glass. Pale, mouth wide open, screaming. Story 48. My roommate and I used to live in a tiny third-floor apartment. Thin walls, noisy plumbing. But one night I woke up around 2:15 a.m. to a sound I couldn't explain. Typing. It was fast, urgent, like someone writing an essay in a hurry. But neither of us owned a typewriter, and our laptops were off. I got up and followed the sound to the hallway. It was coming from the coat closet. I opened it. Nothing but coats. The sound stopped. But the next morning, we found something odd, an old, dusty piece of paper on the kitchen table. Typed. I said, "Don't open the door." We moved out within the month.